listen to what everyone has to say. Wow, it's time to end this.
Mashallah.
We did it. Final words, anyone?
Bye.
All right. Well, yeah. Super excited to see some new faces. Thank you, Amanda, for coming. And we will see you again soon. Mondays, bi-weekly, 6 to 7 p.m., our normal schedule time. Thank you for tuning in, and good night, and stay tuned for the rest of 24 Hours of Student Power. Bye!
Listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Hello, you are tuned into 101.9 FM. This is CITR, and I'm Cleo Skibinski. This is Unceded Airwaves. Penisakai Gotse Dene Eati. I descend matrilineally from the Penisakai First Nation in Treaty 11 territory. That is up in the Northwest Territories, and it is currently negative 40, so I'm quite happy to not be there right now. Although I do head home tomorrow. Welcome to Unceded Airwaves. This is 24-hour student power. I am joined by my lovely colleague, Randy. Say hi, Randy.
Hello.
We have a great conversation coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how you been doing, Randy?
I'm good. I've been on the air a lot today, so I think listeners, I say that, but I was on air at midnight, so I don't know if anyone is actually listening.
You know
listening.
What? Maybe that's someone's sleep schedule. They're up till midnight, they listen to your show till 1, have a little snooze, and they wake up at 7:10 p.m.
Yeah, to listen to this show.
It was last day of classes, so I wouldn't be quite surprised if someone just fallen slept through it. I kind of wish I did.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair. That's a lie, though. I had a really good day of last classes. I had, like, my Indigenous Theory seminar where we just kind of talked about the future of critical Indigenous studies at UBC and, like, where it's been, where it is now, where it's going. Our professor was like, yeah, I'm retiring, but, like, I get to, like, leave a legacy document. What should I say? And then he's listening to his whole class of, like, these students in FNIS 310, and we're just kind of popping off. And he's like, you guys really did learn a lot this semester. I'm really proud. This has been lovely.
That's awesome. If only that was, like, the stand-in for the final project.
I really wish it was. Although, yeah. It's just a paper on Indigenous methodologies. I'm going to be writing about my time tanning moose hide and how the land is pedagogy. Reference to Leanne Simpson. We love Leanne.
We love Leanne.
She's, like, an all-star. I've interacted with her at least, like, 3 occasions now.
Wait, in person?
In person.
Oh my goodness.
She sort of remembered me, like, the second time I saw her. She made it the third time. So wow. The first time I met her, it was, like, UBC 2019. She came in to do a couple, like, small seminars. I believe it was The Land is Queer. And we talked about the film, or the short film, called Naopiming, which is Anishinaabe for The Dawn Rises. Or The Dawn Breaks or something along those lines.
Can you describe that? Because I think I've seen it.
Okay, so like color scheme, purples and blues and nighttime. The actual scenery is urban, suggestively Toronto. You have a young Indigenous person who is gender fluid with their, I guess it's like a bushman kind of guy. Doesn't really like, they don't like communicate in English or anything, but they have like rock phones. And they kind of text each other. And the whole premise is that it's navigating queerness and also indigeneity and maple sugar harvesting in an urban space.
Yeah, I have seen that. That's such a beautiful video.
Right? It's like 20 minutes. Like, listeners, it's on YouTube. It's accessible. I don't know how to spell it. We could probably look it up during our break and like let people know how to find it.
You could also post the link in your show notes.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I'll totally do that.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a fantastic short film. And we spent, like, the class... like it was a whole day class, not even a seminar. It was like a good like 6 hours.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was like I was the youngest person in the room. I often have been the youngest person in like some of these conversations, but like youngest person in the room, it ranged from like undergrad all the way like master's students and faculty and professors that are coming in being like, what up, Leanne? And I'm like, hi, I'm 18 years old. And I just kind of like had like a really wonderful day my first semester at UBC of like talking to like someone that's so established.
Wow.
Who's been mentioned in passing already in my classes, and then 2 years later been reading her very like in depth and like engaging with her work, not only just like her writing but her music and her like short films that she like features in, and I'm like, oh. And then I saw her at Dechenta when I was up in Willowday tanning moose hides, and I got to have coffee with her like every day for 5 days and to ask her the, like, the real important questions.
That is, wow. That's like, I feel like, yeah, because who else did you interview? You interviewed someone else that we were talking about.
I interviewed Dr. Zoe Todd.
Yes.
The Métis fish philosopher. Dr. Fish philosopher.
You're just like interviewing all of these scholars that have built part of my education. And I'm just over here being like, I am so happy for you.
I feel like that's so awesome. Hyped. But most of the time I just kind of like sit there starstruck and they look at me funny. I'm like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I've read all your papers. I can get my hands on. And they go, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
They're like, it's so normal. And you're like, no, like you literally have changed my life. Like you
like
have...
you interrupted all these narratives yeah. for me. And when I was like not sure what to think, you gave me a structure to build myself off of, like,
yeah,
foundational stuff.
I think there are so many, I mean, like Audre Lorde, bell hooks for me, like in my program,
mm-hmm.
that like that is what they have done. And it's truly just like I read their work and I think, wow, like this person is. And I think like there's a danger in that, right? Like we should never uplift anyone to like a pedestal. No one's yeah. perfect. But I think academics don't truly recognize the impact they can have, especially on students, right? Mm-hmm. Like we are like it's other like other academics is one thing, right? They're more even. But when you come into a university when you're 18 and you might be like, you know, socialized and taught in your education back home in a certain way, and you come here and you're confronted by these very large questions about the world, and they are like your guiding hand mm-hmm. through these very complex questions, that leaves like a huge impact on you.
Like, I agree, but it's also like the whole pedestal thing. That's a thing. People are yeah. actually pursuing that pedestal. Like, I think of credentialism, I get really annoyed, and like, I'm like, yeah, like, sure. Whatever little, like, brand name is on your degree might mean something to someone.
Mm-hmm.
But what really matters is, like, the readings you're doing and the conversations you're having, the experience, not the little piece of paper.
Yeah.
But then some folks are also, like, relying so heavily on, like, one thing that's, like, really popularly known about them. I get a little uncomfortable, too, because I'm like, yeah, that's the only thing I know about you? Mm-hmm. I'll be more distant. Because there are, like, yeah. scholars I've read that don't do anything but scholarship.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like I have such an intense, like role model, like, eyes for them as I do the people that are doing, like, a whole, like, holistic approach to their studies and to their life and, like, how that can be engaged. Like, Zoe Todd not only is, like, a scholar and has, like, gone on to, like, start institutions of research and things, but they also, like, are a painter and they're an artist and they're, like, a community member and things like that. And that's, like, gets me going because I'm like, yo, I could be like that. I can do what I want and still be, like, successful.
Yeah.
But I don't have to be just, like, the big name on a research paper, you know?
Yeah, that's so true. Opposed
to, like, the contributing authors and whatnot and how, like, everyone's so competitive. I don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Is it, like, competitive in your faculty?
I don't really know. I feel like a lot of my profs actually didn't, like, don't do that much research. Like, they don't have, like, that many papers published. A few of my profs definitely have, like, published two or three papers. But they're usually, like, independent. And they're very, like long form. Like, I remember one, like, her, I think, I don't know if it was her master's or her PhD research. It was, like, years in the making. Like, she interviewed so many people and it was, like, so complex that it's like so much effort. But I feel like it's less so because a lot of it is more independent. There's a lot less like joint work, I think, whereas I think in the sciences you'll have like 10 people that are writing a paper together, and then it's like a competition of like who is going to be the first one, second one, third one, whatever. Most of the papers I read, I think, in our faculty are just written by one person. But
see, like, I feel like a lot of that is also like indigenous studies, because I don't see like multiple authorship of certain papers. But it's also, like, because there's a lot of, like, indigenous thinkers and scholars, like, critically engaging with, like, certain materials, but they're spread out all over the place.
Yeah.
Like, there's not, like, a high concentration of them in one space, especially at a certain higher level of it, I find, where in class today we were talking about how indigenous studies in other universities aside from UBC are very, like isolated and put in a corner. So, like, we're talking about, like, U of T, because, like, a couple of our classmates and, like, the professor have experience with that institution. And they go, yeah, like, it's fantastic. There are amazing classes and amazing professors that really do, like, challenge the colonized thinking ways and things like that. But they're also, like, not engaging cross-faculty. And the history classes are assuming that the indigenous studies classes will cover it, so it's not their problem.
Yeah.
Where I find at UBC, I find like most classes have an Indigenous topic going on somewhere in their semester and in their syllabus.
Yeah. Truly, like, I would say basically every GRSJ class I have taken, we have read Indigenous scholars. Like, there has not been one where we haven't read work by an Indigenous scholar. Whatever, mm-hmm. like, I took, like, a queer, I think it's called queer, oh my gosh, queer color theorizing. I'm saying okay, it's yeah. so wrong, but it's a really good class. It's a 300 level GRSJ class. And yeah, it's a lot, like, it's about queerness and then also, like, specifically the experiences of people of color. And, like, we read a lot of really good Two-Spirit scholars in that mm-hmm. class. And, like, yeah, and it's kind of, like, I think profs, I agree with you. Like, there is more, I will say the history department severely lacks, I think, like, in my experience of history classes I've taken. Like, I took this class, it was, like, the history of the 1960s.
Okay.
And I swear they didn't talk about Indigenous people in the States once. And I was like, you do you not?
That's kind of sus.
Because, like, you're talking about, like, activism at universities and stuff. Like, I know for a fact mm-hmm. that Indigenous people were involved in this.
Like, Buffy St. Marie was touring around in the 60s and the 70s, and, like, people were coming, and they were basically turning to, like, rallies and, like, land yeah. defender, like, protests.
Yeah.
And it was, like, so swept under the rug. But mm-hmm. interestingly enough, Buffy St. Marie in the 70s and 80s was blacklisted by the CIA. So she was not allowed to be played on the radio. People wow. weren't, like, supposed to promote her. And if they were, it was, like kind of, like, frowned upon to right. a degree. Like, all the radio stations and Broadway casters were told, hey, just, like, stop playing her. She's too radical. She's going to start, like, violence. And I'm like, okay. But then you look at songs of hers like Codeine, which talks about, like, the opioid epidemic and overprescription of painkillers. That was, like, from the 70s or the 60s, I believe.
Wow.
And we're not talking about the opioid epidemic until, like, the past 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe sooner, but I've only been around for 20 years. I know it's always been kind of, like, on the news in the back of, like, the minds of everyone.
Yeah. I would say we actually only, like, really started talking about it in the forefront in the last, like, 10 years.
Oh, really?
Like, I don't... Yeah. And even, like, calling it an epidemic... Well, I say we as if, like...
You are everyone.
Yeah. But as if not to acknowledge the work of so many activists that mm-hmm. have been talking about it for so long.
Oh, definitely.
But, like, the mainstream and, like, calling it an actual epidemic... Yeah, I would say that that's, like, a recent, almost, like, I guess to me it coincides with social media because it is so much easier to, like, spread these, like, the news, right? And, like, with Twitter, right? Like, mm-hmm. you're tweeting about it. You're not, like, depending on a news source to go to these communities and write stories on it.
Yeah, that's really fair. I even think of, like, small Indigenous communities up north. And, like, social media can't change the game. Like, Facebook's, like, the thing you go to. It's where all the information is. People look for, like, their lost dogs. People sell things. People offer jobs.
Yeah.
People fight with their partners. You know, it's a whole other part of, like, community for mm-hmm. some reason. Where I find Twitter isn't too utilized up north too much. Like, I can't think of anyone aside from my MLA that tweets. Okay, maybe some people from Yellowknife, but, like,
yeah,
I don't think about Yellowknife too much. That's for tomorrow's episode. Northerners in the Rain with Miss Bria.
Nice.
Yeah, we did our interview yesterday, getting that all edited up for tomorrow's broadcast, same time as right now.
Awesome.
A little shameless promo right there.
Oh, you're allowed to promo your show all you want on your show.
Oh, yeah, I guess so, hey?
Yeah.
I don't even know what else to promo. I guess Unseen Airways also stands to be like, yo, acknowledge you're on stolen land. That's a good moment to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow.
Should we play a song and then go to a quick ad break and come back?
I think we should totally play a song. So this song is Snotty Nose Rez Kids. It is Hot Planet. It just came out on their newest album. Enjoy it.
I'm so excited to hear it. So please enjoy. Take over the planet.
beefing like I'm Sosa. Know my tribe is red, need me some red Octobers. Wake up and smell the roses, they burning up all over. I'm real deadly like Corona, got ancestors in my corner. Merciless savage, baby, and now I'm sophisticated. I know that the Lord can't save me, but that's just how creator made me. And I always been me, can't change me. You colonized my school gazing, maybe you've been the one that needs saving. It's been too many years, can you blame me? Whoa, my Nietzsche's coming loco, like Hades with some cocoa. Not your token engine, no, no, fuck, I look like homie Tonto. Best boy extraordinaire, ain't never been that so-so. Long hair and I don't care, right tatted on my torso. Up and down the family trees, my ancestors B.O.G.s. Laying back by any means, and that's where the Russell means. Mama put her ass in check, never saying fuck the world, cause the world would do it back, so come correct and show respect. It's 98 degrees, I'm on a porch of Minamic. Sweat drip down my balls, hot boy Louisiana. I'm hotter than the grease when my grandma make a panic. We hotter than the planet, we could've never planned it. Bitch, I need a drink with a lime all organic. Ice would be nice, going down like Titanic. Working on my Spanish, take over the planet. We blowing like the planet, don't panic, goddamn it. Burning on my tires, the world done caught on fire. We dying from a virus in a world full of liars. Can we fight for something higher? Why don't people offer higher? Should freedom riders wider? Are we preaching to the choir? God damn it, you're so silly. One day this shit gon' kill me. I do this for the city. The Nietzsche's riding with me, screaming free Palestine and free your mind if you feel me. You're finally catching on. I've been walking since Free Willy. All been healing from my traumas. My normal's full of drama. Let's take a family picture, picture perfect. New Obama's whole squad about to eat. Boy, I got it from my mama. Got a meeting on my palm until they biting like piranhas. Damn, family under nothing. That's some shit I won't forget. Bridges over rivers. If you burn them, you'll get wet. The system built to burn us. Now we hotter than a sweat. Man, I'll flick my cigarette and burn it down. Project X. Burn it down. Sweat drip down my balls, hot boy Louisiana. I'm hotter than the grease when my grandma make a panic. We hotter than the planet, we could've never planned it. Bitch, I need a drink with a lime all organic. Ice would be nice, going down like Titanic. Working on my Spanish, take over the planet. We blowing like the planet, don't panic, goddammit. Goddammit, goddammit.
Right now, authentic flour tortillas pan-fried until golden brown.
Yum!
Or vegan taco kits filled with traditional Mexican chilies and spices.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Or how about vegan potato and chorizo taquitos?
How can I get these foods immediately?
Buy Lita's Mexican Foods.
Sounds delicious. Tell me more.
Lita's Mexican Foods is a female-managed, plant-based Mexican food innovator in BC. Their products come prepackaged and frozen at tons of local grocery stores around Metro Vancouver. Not to mention they can be cooked in under 10 minutes.
Wow, that sounds perfect for me. I've been so busy lately and dinner takes so long to make. Where can I get my hands on some Lita's Mexican Foods?
Lots of places. Whole Foods, Choices, Stong's, Vegan Supply, Donald's, and even UBC Bookstore. Hey, where are you going?
To buy some Lita's Mexican Foods. See you later.
See ya.
You are tuned into 101.9 FM at CITR Radio. I'm Cleo Skivinsky, and I'm the Indigenous Collective Lead here at CITR. I am coming to you over the radio waves to let you know that Unseated Airwaves is back on the air and stronger than ever. We are centering Indigenous joy, brilliance, and current issues on our episode. Unseated Airwaves broadcasts on Thursday evenings at 7 to 9 p.m. and replays on the following Monday at 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. All right, we're back. Hello. Welcome back to 101.9 FM. I'm Cleo. I'm with Randy today, and this is Unseated Airwaves, live for the first time, in honor of 24-hour student power. Yeah. Randy, what is 24-hour student power?
24 hours of student power is when all of the students take over the radio station from all of the community programmers, and we get to play only student-led content for 24 hours.
Fantastic. And just so happens, I'm a student.
Yeah.
And I'm also the host of Unseated Airwaves, so we're just going to combine the two vibes.
Exactly. And I told you that you had to have a show, and here you are.
I did have to have a show. I did, however, put out some feelers for friends to come join me. Mm-hmm. It just happens. It's the last day of school. Folks are busy. I'm happy to be here, though.
Me too.
And I hope that next time we have an event like this, folks will come out and join us.
I mean, not to spoil anything, but we will be doing this again this school year.
Oh, heck yeah.
So be prepared.
I'm so ready.
And not on the last day of classes.
Oh, thank goodness.
Because as much fun as I'm having, I don't think a lot of people want to be on campus at 7:30 on the last day.
Yeah, probably
not. Unless they have to.
Because they have to, but it's also like, it's so cold outside. I'm going to go home tomorrow, and people are going to haze me for like 2 weeks while I'm home.
Do you get that?
Like all the time.
I get that too, yeah.
Like I get home, I'm like, oh, it's cold. And they're like, ah, the city changed you. And I sit there and I'm like, no, it's just negative 35.
Yeah.
With the wind chill, negative 42.
Yeah.
What do you want from me?
You were cold. You're cold too.
You're cold too. You're just used to the pain.
Yeah.
I'm a little sensitive, okay?
Yeah.
But even then, it's like, I know like Alberta's really cold right now too. Like U of A canceled their classes on Tuesday because it was like
really?
Negative 40 with the wind chill and everything.
Yeah. Wind chill is what you get you. Like that. Yeah. That's like
especially
Alberta and Saskatchewan. Well, I mean, there's nothing there.
It just blows right through.
Yeah. Just blows right through. I know I saw a TikTok from a Saskatchewan TikToker that I follow. And yeah, his field trip was canceled because it was like minus 50 with the wind chill.
Aw, poor buddy.
Yeah. I felt bad for him. Those poor kids. They don't get to go out in their winter. Yeah. But it's always funny. Like, yeah. Yeah, there's like no snow days in Alberta, and then you come here.
Yeah, my first snow day was here.
I know. I honestly can't believe that they didn't have a snow day. I was impressed. I was proud of Vancouver.
Mean? We had a snow day, didn't we? Last Wednesday.
But was it an official? Like
UBC, at least. Classes were canceled last Wednesday.
Wait, what?
You didn't know that? Oh, I guess.
Okay, well, I didn't get it. I don't think I got an email. I just,
did
my
prof.
Classes
on Wednesday?
Yeah, my prof just emailed that the class was going to be in online, but I just assumed that was like her decision. I didn't know that was like an official
It was an official UBC decision because they sent out an email about like hazardous weather the night before, about like the buses getting canceled and people getting stuck in the nest overnight. Folks were like full on sleeping here Tuesday night because the buses just couldn't get off campus. And on that email had a little tiny link that's like to check weather updates and closure updates, click here. And the other one's like, oh, if you want to see how the buses are doing, click here. So I clicked on the one and it told me, hey, it's at 6:30, it updated, snow day, 11:30, updated, snow afternoon, which made an official snow day as opposed to just a snow morning.
That's okay. I didn't get this email.
That is the struggle of like spam mail and like not caring what UBC sends you half the time.
I really don't.
I remember like when I was waiting for my acceptance to UBC and I was like applying and getting all these little fun emails. And now I just dread them. I'm like, oh, the UBC mail's here. What is it? Is it Canvas? Is it like, is it another financial thing? What do you want from me today?
Yeah.
They're never offering me something fun.
No. I applied to like every major Canadian university for engineering to spite my guidance counselor because he told me I would never get in. And I got early admission to every university I applied to.
Whoa. God proved those counselors wrong.
And then I dropped out of engineering after my first year.
You know what?
But we love it. We love
it. It's like, you know when you do things out of spite? At least like you figured out like early enough
that
it was out of spite.
Oh, truly. Yeah. I was like, I hate everything for this. But okay, this is the point I'm getting at. So I like compared all of it. U of S, man, they sent me the best admission packet.
Really?
They sent me, I think I got a sticker, a keychain. There was glitter in the acceptance letter.
For the celebration.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't want to live in Saskatoon, but like, I almost did, man. U of A also was great.
That was good.
U of A
had magnets. They had like temporary tattoos or something.
And a patch.
They had a patch to sew on your clothes or your backpack or whatever.
Yeah.
And they had like the cute little like info card and things.
Yeah.
You know what? U of A, they really tried to get us.
And then UBC is like, you got in.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And then we got to sit here and be like, yay. Because <Yeah. laughs> so I've been like, you know, like in movies, I guess all the movies like we've grown up with, kids got the letter in the mail to like run home to mom and dad and be like, ah,
I got in. Yeah.
And it's like, oh, the person from the suburbs got into university. Yay. Hey. Or they didn't. And then it's like a villain origin story.
Yeah.
And it just tumbles and you're like, oh, no.
Yeah. And their parents can pay for it.
Yeah. It's like art school over again.
Yeah. The idea that I can't imagine. Because it was never going to be an option to me that my university would be paid for. Like, I feel like when I was like, I knew from the moment I was like 12 that I would get student loans and scholarships.
Oh, you were thinking student loans? So like, I knew from the age of like 7 mm-hmm. that like no matter what, if I chose to go to school, my mom and my band hopefully would like see me through it.
Oh, okay.
And unfortunately, I'm not directly funded from my band. I have some friends like here at UBC that are, where like there's a more like institutional relationship between band office and UBC, and like the students left to be a student and do what they need to do.
Okay.
But being from the north, I have things like SFA, which is like student financial aid. Every school year you do from kindergarten to grade 12, it accumulates into a dollar value for when you go to school.
Oh, wow.
So I did the majority of my schooling up in the north. I did like maybe 2 or 3 years not in the north because my mom was going to university for those years.
Okay.
So that's kind of like also why I had the idea like, oh, I'm definitely going to do this. This is sick.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what you're doing all night, but you're typing and you look really cool. And now I'm typing and I don't look very cool. At least my Snapchat story looks cool, I guess. But yeah, like I knew that I would have funding at some degree. And they also help the whole flights home, which are incredibly and notoriously expensive.
That's really important.
But they only pay to, like, your closest institution that offers your degree.
Oh.
So currently, U of A is my best option, and it's the closest to the north that they would pay for. So they pay for me to fly to Edmonton and home, which is the most expensive portion of the trip. So I'm incredibly grateful. Like, shout out SFA.
Yeah.
Pop off. Pay me back for all those years I spent in the cold with no snow days. Yeah, but, like, definitely, like, money was never, like, a big insecurity. Mm-hmm. It was always kind of like a, we'll figure it out, and there's other avenues, like scholarships. So
yeah.
I've also applied to, like, Inspire every year since I went to university.
Okay.
So those of you that don't know, Inspire is, like, a big foundation, and they give out as many scholarships as they possibly can every year based on need for every student. You have, like, a good process of a application, but once you apply for that academic year, you're put into the pool, like, 2 or 3 times for different awards.
Oh, wow.
So, like, you can, I think it's, like, one at the beginning of the semester for the school year, one at the end, so, like, this time of year, they're going to start, like, handing some out. Then again, after February for the end of the school year, I believe. And then, like, one time I got an award, and I used it for a summer class.
Nice.
So then it also, like, bumped me for my extracurriculars, or not my extracurriculars, my credits that I needed. You know, the fun credits?
Yeah,
those credits. Ones. Yeah. I did cultural anthropology.
Interesting.
I had Charles Menzies. He was actually an Indigenous professor. He was wonderful over Zoom. He kind of talked like this, though.
Mm.
So you see, it was a little boring at 9 a.m. on Zoom. But it was recorded also after That's being rough. Live. So I could, like, hit, like, 1.5 speed and
Go
work
back.
My way through it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, I mean, like, it's definitely not a complaint because, like, my dad supports me in, like, every other way.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's just, like, university is expensive.
It's
so expensive.
And Vancouver itself is expensive. Like, you know, there are moments that I'm like, if I went to U of A, it would have been a lot easier financially.
Yeah, well, the bulk of my student loans is just to pay for my housing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if I worked, like, I worked full-time this entire summer, and straight up, like, I couldn't. There's no way you could possibly work. And, like, I have a really good job
mm-hmm.
that pays, like, really well for, like, I mean, for, like, a minimum wage plus tips job, you know, at, like, a restaurant. And there's no way I could work for 4 months and make up your entire tuition. Like, when my dad went to university at U of A in 1980, whatever.
whatever year
he could
was.
Work the entire summer at his family farm and make enough money to pay for his housing. in school. And that's just, that doesn't happen anymore.
It's just not, like, plausible. Yeah. Like, people that still live at home that commute an hour a day, every day I get closer and closer to being like, I'm on your side.
Yeah. You're like, this makes sense. I need
to find, like, a house.
Or even just somewhere cheaper. Literally anywhere but Vancouver.
Like, anywhere. Like,
even housing in Edmonton.
It's, like, it's not terrible. There are quite a bit of options.
Yeah.
But also, it's just, like, Vancouver's beautiful. It's so gorgeous. Like, Musqueam, pop off. You've done a beautiful job. Coast Edge people, you knew what you were doing. Mm-hmm. I kind of wish all the trees were still here, though.
Yeah.
I've been thinking a lot about what has been on this land before. Because, you know, I've only ever seen it as it is now, which is, like, giant buildings. I hate giant buildings. I'm more accustomed to, like, my town has one high-rise that's, like, 14 floors, maybe.
Oh, wow.
And, like, that's it. It's all kind of flat.
Yeah.
Nothing more than, like, 2 stories, 3 stories. So, like, I'm not used to big buildings. Mm-hmm. I find them kind of gross, being inside them, being beside them, being, like, away from them. Ugh.
They are. And, like, they don't inspire... Sorry, I'm about to pop off about...
Please do.
...urban planning. So if you don't want to listen to me go on and on about that... please let me know. But yeah, like, they don't inspire community because you have so many people shoved into such a small area that to provide all of the resources for those people is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you can't. And, like, Vancouver drives me so mad in the way that they will just, like, build up all of these high-rise residences around, like, SkyTrain stations.
Mm-hmm.
And then they don't actually, like... do anything to, like, build community.
Like, there's, like, no green space.
Yeah.
And Vancouver's, like, known for green spaces, but I find in, like, the hastily planned, like, lower income spaces you see, or the more convenient for, like, you know, the working class, you mm-hmm. don't see the nice, like, beautiful parks and benches and things.
Yeah. Poor, like, people don't deserve green space.
Yeah. And I'm don't sitting there and I'm like, excuse me? And we only plant male trees? Excuse me?
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. My sinuses hurt. Yeah. Everyone has allergies. Why do we all have allergies? Because urban planners are sexy. No, just kidding.
You know.
Well, they are.
They kind of are. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, we know they are. Well, I think we should go to another song and commercial break.
Sure. So we are going to be listening to a song by the duo of Piksik. That's P-I-Q-S-I-Q, Yellowknife-based, Inuit throat singers.
Maya Key Yerba Mate. Yerba Mate is a naturally caffeinated drink that comes in a variety of formats, from loose leaf to cans to bottles. Yes, the yellow ones. Guaya Key Mate is all organic, non-GMO, and sure to make you come to life. Guaya Key is more than just a Yerba Mate brand. They're focused on personal, social, ecological, and cultural growth through their commitment to regenerative practices, which include stewarding the South Atlantic rainforest and partnering with indigenous South American communities through the production of Yerba Mate. Visit guayaki.com, G-U-A-Y-A-K-I.com, to learn more and find this delicious drink near you. Or stop by CITR station on UBC campus for a free Yerba Mate can.
TransCare BC works to enhance the coordination of trans health services across the province and offer expanded health services to support transgender communities. They are doing this by developing gender-affirming client-centered models of service, ensuring access to gender-affirming and supportive healthcare that is equitable and available, and supporting network development to make sure trans and gender-diverse individuals, their families, and healthcare providers have access to information, resources, and support. Check out phsa.ca to learn more about this program and lend your voice to help create an inclusive and supportive system for trans members of our community.
All right.
Hello. Welcome back to 101.9 FM. This voice over here is Cleo. Over there is Randy.
Hello.
Slay. We are on Unceded Airways for 24-hour student power. The last 15 minutes you're going to hear, well, at least my voice, because I'm going to go home and pack, because I'm flying up to the north of 60 tomorrow to hang out in Edmonton for 4 hours in the airport. You know, I'm going to go to Indigo, buy some books.
Go to Indigo.
Maybe buy some new critical Indigenous thinkers. Maybe some Billy Ray Belcourt. Maybe some nonfiction or fiction. Who knows? All of it. Poetry? Leanne Simpson's poetry.
Poetry is
nice.
It's
different. We're going to get into media because now I'm thinking about Indigo and I'm thinking about some conversations Randy and I have. And it's always about, what have you been watching lately?
Yeah.
So, have you been watching anything with, like, Indigenous representation?
Recently, I haven't really, no, because I have been rewatching Community.
Is Community, like, The Office, but, like, a gym or something? I've seen, like, 2 episodes.
It's, like, the university. So, it's a community college, and it's, like, these group of students that go to community college, and then it's just, like, a mess.
I always think of the dodgeball episode, or this, like, something to do with dodgeball. Maybe it's the commercial.
Yeah, well, it's very like over the top theatrics of, like, community college. Mm. But yeah, I did watch Wednesday, the show.
I am working my way through it. I'm like episode 7.
Yeah, which we have talked about. And it did just get me thinking, because, like, the scenes were going around on mostly, I guess, TikTok of, mm-hmm. like, from the 1990, I don't know if it's the first one or second one, but, like, the live action films from the 90s, with the scene of Wednesday talking to, like, you know what I'm talking about, but, like, when she goes to,
so when she goes to summer camp,
yes,
and
summer camp,
her parents leave her and Pugsley there, and they go, okay, go make nice, and it's like, this is not the space to leave Wednesday Adams.
Yeah,
what have you done? And I'm thinking that you're thinking of the scene where they're doing a pageant or, like, a play about the first pilgrimage or something, or the first Thanksgiving, and Wednesday absolutely pops off.
Yeah, and she's just like, this is not real.
She literally just comes up there and she's like, colonization, guys.
Yeah.
This is violence. And this is the reality where we're at now. And because of all of these sins that your forefathers have done, I'm going to burn your village to the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she does something very similar in the show Wednesday Addams. Because there's, like, this, like, basically, I don't know if anyone knows what Heritage Park is in, like,
no idea.
Calgary. It's, like, literally what it sounds like.
It's like Stampede Heritage Park kind of vibes.
Yeah. So it's, like, old,
western-y
houses. Yeah, like, an old, like, western frontier town.
So, like, LARP, but for, like, settlers?
Wait, what did you say?
LARP?
LARP.
Like, live-action role-play?
Oh, yes.
Like, a kind of setting you'd want to do that in?
Yeah, basically.
Okay, cool.
Exactly, yeah. So it's, like, that in the series. And she does, like, the same thing where she's, like, all these German tourists come in. And she actually speaks to them in German, I think.
Mm-hmm, it's
and
German.
And it's, like, yeah, she's, like, telling them that, like, And, like, specifically she's talking about, like, the cocoa industry and the chocolate industry and how, like, it's so built upon, like, the backs of predominantly indigenous people in, like, South America and in Mexico. And, yeah, and then at the very end she's, like, because for context she's holding a tray of fudge and she's supposed to offer it. And then she's, like, also fudge was invented, like, 150 years later
like, or something like that. This would even make sense for, like, the pilgrims to have this, like, honestly, like. And they all kind of look really uncomfortable. They go, like, do you want some? And they're like, no.
Yeah, and then they, like, all leave.
I feel bad now.
Yeah. So that's, like, kind of, like, I would say, like, recently, that's, like, the only kind of rep I've seen. Which has,
like,
been...
Wednesday herself is, like, representative of, like, Latin and Latinx identities.
Yeah.
And I know, like, the actress, like, I kind of was perusing the Instagrams. And there was, like, some, like, snippets of an interview where she was talking about representation. And she's like, yeah. Although I'm here and I'm trying to do it justice, I'm trying to do, like, my research and things like that and to embody what I think other people would like to see, I also know I'm, like, this isn't enough. Yeah. I'm not enough. And I can't be the only one being a representative and, like, being popular because of certain things. And I'm really glad that with, like, the Addams Family, it's always kind of there that they're, like, not white.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know how I feel about that in the earlier series, because they are, like, the weird family in, like, the white Western world.
Yeah.
But, like, in Wednesday, I kind of, like, see it still, and I'm like, this is, like, it doesn't have to be the central focus of, like, contention in every media, but it can still serve a purpose of representation and, like, good vibes and, like, seeing yourself being someone on a screen.
Yeah.
Which is pretty valuable, because, like, when I think of, like, Indigenous people on screen, I... struggle thinking of, like, a childhood memory, to be honest. Like, on the news, for sure. Lots of Indigenous people on the news.
Yeah.
Lots of Indigenous people on the radio back home, but that's about it. But then, like, I do have a cousin who was an actress in The Revenant, which has some really strange reactions at times when I say that, because, you know.
Yeah, that's... I'm now trying to remember that movie.
DiCaprio.
Yeah.
Sleeps in a bear or something.
Oh, yeah.
I did buy the film for my mom and for my grandmother because that's, like, my mom's cousin. So it's not my cousin, it's my mom's cousin, which, you know, is basically my cousin. I've met her once at the Jose Sere conference in, like, 2016, which is, like, a gathering of, like, Indigenous Northern-based research that I went to at one point because that was part of my job.
Nice.
Youngest person there, too. Except for the six-month-old. That six-month-old beat me. Yeah, but, like, my cousin Mila was in this film, and I watched it maybe twice, and every time I kind of got real uncomfortable, so I actually don't know what it's about. I just kind of saw, like, violence against women and, like, DiCaprio being DiCaprio, but not in a hot way, but in, like, a creepy way.
Do you think he's ever... Sorry, that's going to go off topic.
Titanic? No? Okay.
That's okay, fair. Also, I am, for context, I'm a lesbian, though. So
But, like, he looks like a lesbian in Titanic, doesn't he?
That's true. He does look
like I can easily see a woman-loving woman perspective of, like, what this show could be.
It's like he's attractive in the way that I would want to look like him in Titanic.
Oh. Same.
Yeah, that hair... Hair's amazing.
Anyways, Indigenous hair's amazing. Oh, I love decolonizing my attraction to people. Like, Indigenous people just, like, mwah. I've been watching, like, the Instagram of, like, in Vancouver's Indigenous Fashion Week from last week. And I have a friend that actually was modeling. And I was just like, oh, my goodness. The Indigenous peoples are beautiful. And I'm thinking of, like, how, like, a lot of folks are pushing back on Eurocentric beauty standards. And, like, kind of, like, broadening the idea what beauty is and be able to, like, see it, like, in others and in myself. I'm like, oh, I love this moment. This is what, like, people have been waiting for.
Yeah.
It's what I've been waiting for.
Totally. Yeah. No, I saw some of those in there. So, well, do you know Leslie Hampton?
I do not know.
I think that's her name. She's the first Indigenous artist, or sorry, clothing designer. Well, artist. I guess, yeah, that I came across. But, yeah, like, the entire industry of Indigenous designing and clothing designing and, like, the fact that, yeah, like, it's so built into that. And I think I find that with, like, most clothing designers that are from marginalized communities tend to embrace a lot more of that, like, you know, like, having more representative and inclusive modeling and, like, designing practices, which I think is, like, I don't know. I think that's amazing.
Yeah. I just like seeing this space for it because, you know, it used to be like a struggle. It's still a struggle. But now there's also like spaces that are being created and like etched out of what's already here for Indigenous people to kind of like thrive. Because, you know, we were already being fantastic off doing whatever we were doing, wherever we were, in whatever context. But now we're getting, like, the center stage, like, hollowed out for us from, like, a lot of effort and activism and, like, pushing back and allyship, too. Because you gotta, like, recognize that kind of, too. Because, you know, we love the homies.
Like, Wednesday.
Like, Wednesday's a real ally. And, like, I love her little weirdness. Because I also feel like that. Her little braids. See, even like decolonizing like intimacy, I've been reading a lot of Kim Tallbear the past like year and a half. I highly recommend some of her work. She talks like about non-monogamy and like intimacy and relationships and family models, and just like the way she writes and the way she talks, amazing. Oh, and like I actually had her for a lecture last year about decolonizing Disney, and it was just kind of her like, you know, talking about like the, oh, this film took this long to make and things and no one was consulted, so here's how it was wrong. And we were like, yes. And it was just like, it was a Zoom call because she teaches at Edmonton in University of Alberta, I'm pretty sure. But like it's just like, ah,
yeah.
And then I think of things like Trickster being canceled. Like, there was, like, such beautiful actors with such, like, amazing skills that were, like, you can see them developing over the season.
That show, I think I binge-watched that show. Well, actually, I couldn't, though, because I started watching it when it was still releasing new episodes. And, my goodness, I looked forward to those episodes like you wouldn't believe. Like, it was so good. Phenomena. And, like, talk about, yeah, like, teenage Indigenous representation, right? Like, we've talked in the past, and I know you're going to have an episode on this, but, like, Reservation Dogs, right? Like, and
it's
I'm just
it's like, so valuable because, like, yeah, where was that before? I don't know, but now it's here, and it's done so well. Like, the like every component might not be done to the best degree, but everyone that's contributing is doing with the best intent and with a purpose to make it something they can be proud of.
Yeah.
Which is something that other people can look at and find pride in. And I find that's like a big conversation in terms of like the reconciliation era and like where we are now as Indigenous people is like we have to have pride in ourselves. And I'm like, yeah, that was part of like a lot of our epistemology was to be proud of ourselves and to be like in very like openly expressive about it. Unfortunately, we have a lot of history now that has made that difficult. But if we kind of, if we can like be patient with ourselves and with like media to a degree, we could still like develop ways that we can find those like spaces to have a lot of like pride and to be really like expressive of who we are and like what it means to be who we are now in our context and what's going to be like. We can start like, you know, looking ahead with like really happy open arms. But also in things like when you have a director that may or may not be Indigenous and pretending and the media starts taking over for that, it's really unfortunate because you lose a whole stream of a space that was, like, doing really well and doing a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
So much so that, like, yeah, I was also waiting each week for the new episode. And my friends and I, all my Indigenous girlfriends from, like, UBC, we would all, like, get together on, like, I think it was, like, Thursday nights. We would make dinner together in our dorm rooms. And we'd sit on each other's bed because, you know, UBC dorms, you only have your bed to sit on.
Yeah.
And we'd watch the episode. And then we'd just be like, oh, he's so pretty. Oh, she's so hot. Because they're just, like, and but it's also, like, we don't get to see that kind of thing anywhere.
Yeah.
And growing up as teenagers, we had One Direction. And we have Taylor Lautner as a close Indigenous representative. And we all know Taylor Lautner is not Indigenous, at least in the way it matters.
We talked about this in
our... Oh, you can plug Dog-Eared in the episode we did.
Oh, yeah. Cleo was on Dog-Eared 2 weeks ago?
I think it was
yesterday?
Yeah, two weeks ago.
We talked about Iron Widow. It was really good.
Really interesting. Go listen. Like, very interesting. Get into it. Twilight does come up.
Yeah.
And Twilight also came up in my FNIS class this morning.
We love when Twilight comes up in academic settings.
I promise, Randy, I didn't start it. We were joking about werewolves and vampires. And I was like, you know, like Twilight. And then everyone in the class knew what was going on but the professor. So sorry, Link. You know, like, it's like, once I told him it was Twilight, he caught on. But like, no one said the T word. But we were all talking about it. like as like a very common knowledge. And I'm like, yo, young people are whack.
That's funny. All right. Well, we are at the end of your episode, unfortunately.
You know what? That's okay. I'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah. With your next amazing episode.
Yes, it's been wonderful. Thank you, Randy, for coming on Unseated Airwaves and for doing my soundboard. I have never been live before. It's a godsend. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you did. Hey, you were on Dog Ear. That's live.
True. Oh, I guess so, yeah. This is Unseated's first live since it has taken a hiatus in 2020.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
No, this was awesome. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for joining me. Telling Cleo during the commercial break that I feel like our conversations, we could just, I mean, all of our conversations should be aired on the radio.
I feel like we should just have GoPros and like little microphones. Yeah. We should be The Office, honestly. Yeah,
we should do CITR Office, but it's just Cleo and
Randy. You know what? I think that would really go well. Thank you for tuning in, everyone. This is 101.9 FM. This was Unseated Airwaves. Have a wonderful night and enjoy the rest of the 24 hours.
Yeah. Stay tuned because I'm going to be here again.
Oh, it's your turn next.
With Intersections by The Intersectionality. So go Beautiful. Take a quick break and then we'll get started.
This is Lenny of Mass Grave. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM.